Naptown, the city that always sleeps. Most people think nothing happens in this town that is halfway between nothing and nowhere, but they would be wrong. There is plenty that goes on in this town for those willing to look. Time has passed and the city has been at peace for a while now. The original crew has worked hard to help Rifts and the city find meaningful ways to use their powers. But there are times when they aren't fast enough and they have to send out new investigators to see what is happening and hopefully help the new Rifts into controlling their powers. So as the snow falls softly upon the city and Christmas approaches, a murder is committed and Oak is once again called in to help the city that always sleeps. All right, hello everyone, welcome back to Naptown.
Woo!
We are doing a holiday special in Naptown. It is Christmassy. Notice all the snow that you can see around in our podcast. We've decorated the audio track with snow.
I like how you are both telling and that you're just explicitly saying, like, it feels Christmassy in here. You're not doing that by saying, like, there are Christmas trees, right? Which is also telling. You're just literally going, feel like Christmas now.
Some of us paint word tapestries, others use crayon.
Just say you could have at least had some sleigh bells.
I mean, Mandy or Caitlin can fix that in post. I want someone to put sleigh bells in like the whole time we're talking right now.
I was already planning on it.
And then Cody be like, you could have had sleigh bells. Like, it's already there, Cody.
Ching, 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 ching. I can just do that in the background the whole time.
Please don't.
Anyway, for this, this investigation is going to take place a couple years after we left Naptown before. And we're playing with new characters.
Woo!
We have three of our normal cast members here. Well, four, if you count me. And we have Randy Rents joining us for a fun little thing. So, let's go around and introduce our characters.
I want to go last because I straight up forgot my character's name and I got to find my character sheet.
It's Clay.
I am playing Crispin. He is a plumber. And should we say what Rifts we are?
Yeah.
Okay, he is the Rift of Orpheus, so he's got some music magic and some premonition sort of magic, and a lot of animals follow him around. That's Crispin.
Mandy.
So I am playing Gladys Perkins. She is a 20-year-old college student, and she is the Rift of Dionysus. And I would say that she looks a lot like Hedy Lamarr. I'll put a picture of her in the chat.
So very like classical black and white movies.
Yes.
Yeah. Just like porcelain face, soft focus.
Yeah.
She also helped them helped invent like stuff with radio.
She did. Yeah. She laid the foundation for Wi-Fi. So what is Gladys's power? Did you say that?
Yeah. She's the Rift of Dionysus.
Oh, yes. That's right. Yeah.
God of wine for those who aren't as versed in Greek.
Wine and parties.
And Orpheus is the one who like, you know, played his harp to get to hell and come back with his dead wife.
Is he the one who turned back?
Yes.
Spoilers.
Yeah, I didn't know how it ended.
Well, now you know.
Who are you playing, Randy?
I am playing Zara. She is a zoologist, and she is part of the Rift of Artemis.
What's your pet that you have with you?
Oh, I have a deer whose name is Mira.
All right, Cody, we're saving the best for last.
I'm playing a transient laborer named Cliff Clayton, who is a Rift of Hercules. He has done many labors all across the United States.
Wait, Cliff? I thought his name was Clay. Did you change?
Oh, Clay
his name?
Clifton. Sorry, no, I got it backwards because I'm stupid. I made my name a joke and then I said it wrong. Clay Clifton. Yeah, so he goes by Clay. Or Mr. Clifton.
Oh, God.
Cody.
Oh, Randy, Mira, Zara, wherever you are.
All right. So, now that we know our intrepid investigators, you guys have already been introduced to the Order, which is under new-ish management at this point. Darling and Tanner and Faye and Seamus are still around doing stuff, helping out, running it, depending on where they ended the arc in. The final arc. Tanner and Darling are still running the show. The bootlegging has kind of calmed down for those keeping score at home. But there's still a little bit of that going on. We are in the mid to late 20s at this point. So you guys are all in a room. After orientation, you guys have met each other a time or two before and are waiting for the instructor to come in and let you know what's next.
Gladys is showing off her newest party trick, which is tying the stem of a cherry with just her tongue.
Crispin is playing his harmonica in the background, which unfortunately reveals how many mice have taken up residence in the building.
How alarming of an amount is it?
not super much, but where there's one mice, there's families. So, you know. Sylvia might want to take care of that.
Zara's just kind of sitting in the corner, picking various animal hairs and substances off of her clothes as she's noticing them.
Substances?
We're trashy.
Clay is, like, if this is, like, imagine, like, a classroom, you know, if it's, like, that kind of, like, layout where there was someone speaking, he would be sitting as close to the front as possible, and he's, like, clearly struggling with the fact that the chair is way too small for him, you know? It's uncomfortable, and then there's, like, a groan and a crack, and he just smashes the chair and falls on the ground. And he just kind of gets up and looks around, and to no one, he just declares, "Well, not... I don't hold by shady workmanship. It just seems lazy to me, but I guess I do apologize for any convenience to the chair." And then he just stands ramrod straight and just kind of looks awkwardly around at everyone else.
Can Crispin try to play his harmonica and get the wood to go back together?
Oh, that's a good idea, actually.
Yes.
Okay.
I guess it's a change the game. Oh, I really need to pull up the cheat sheet for City of Mist.
Yeah, I think the only thing I have for this is Bend the World, which is his power to make non-living things like rocks and water and wood, in this case, follow his song. Yeah, I straight failed that. That's a 3.
So you're like, "I got this." You jump in there, you start playing a jaunty tune in your harmonica. Absolutely nothing happens.
One little chip just kind of moves a little.
No, not even that. It's
jumps and that doesn't do anything.
It's not even that. It's more embarrassing than that. You're like, "I can help you out." And then you just go and play a harmonica to a guy who fell on a chair.
"I don't mean to be rude. I understand we all got different senses of humor, but it seems to be tactless to play the harmonica and jest at my misfortune just because the chair was quite small and I was quite large."
"It's meant to be more of a morale booster. Yeah."
"Oh, well, thank you. I'm Clay Clifton. I never forget my name." "It's not a thing you usually have to say." And he holds out a hand to shake, but it's still holding part of the chair. And he drops it, like, right as he gets his hand to you. He, like, drops the chair and goes, "Pleased to meet you."
"I'm Crispin. It's good to meet you, Clay."
I should say he's about 6'7", and just gigantic. Like, not necessarily, like, super muscular and, like, a defined, like, bodybuilder kind of way. He's just huge.
Yeah, Crispin is not that. He's probably, like, 5'9", 5'10", and, like, average build, but not, like, muscular plumber build, you know? You can tell he does not tighten things, like, tighten bolts with his muscles. He uses something else.
I also think that Clay has roughly the posture of a Vogon, if you've ever seen Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. He's just hunched over, head sticking straight out. "Hi, I'm Clay Clifton."
Yeah, Crispin has to, like, kind of push his dark curls out of his eyes so that he could look up and see you. Just kind of, like, nods.
"Clay, wait, hang on. That's not the voice I was going for. I'm so used to darling.
I know.
Right?
I'm like, "Darling, what are you doing here?"
And now Cody's throwing me off. Well, hang on. Now I got to remember what it is. Ignore me.
I'm disappointed that we don't have a southern accent in Wanderlust. Feels kind of lacking.
It could be overkill.
Is there not someone that's had a southern accent yet?
In Wanderlust?
Do you generally always have a southern accent?
It's just an easy accent that we all can do.
There was an entire faction of people that sounded like Foghorn Leghorn. Yeah.
Caitlin was...
Tune in to Outlaws Wanted.
Outlaws Wanted, Caitlin had a southern accent, and then we did Naptown where Mandy had a southern accent, and now we're doing this where Cody has a southern accent.
Like, Crispin and Clay, we already did this.
We
met each other like 2 weeks ago.
Well, I do meet a lot of people, and I sometimes forget. I apologize if I gave offense.
Well, you never forget your name. And that's what counts.
Right. Clay Clifton.
For anyone at home, just so you know, we spent a night making these characters. We did no role-playing at all. We just made the characters in a void, and this is what I get.
You get Clay Clifton. He's the best character I've ever made.
I'm not saying your characters are bad. I'm just saying this is what you guys made with each other, and this is how the role-playing happens. It's all just, like, movie magic. Every time.
So does our instructor walk in?
Yeah, so at this point, a guy walks in. You hear him yelling back, "No, Runa, I'm not doing this because you told me to. I'm doing this because I want to do it. Just because you're telling me to do things doesn't mean I'm doing them." And he closes the door, like, kind of, like, hastily. "Hello, why is there a deer in here? Also, what are all these... You know what? Maybe I don't actually want to know."
The chair was built with poor craftsmanship, and I tested it by sitting upon it, and at that point, it saw fit to be unmade. I'll stand. It's better that way.
I need a raise. Hello, everyone. I am your instructor for the evening. My name is Bill. You think being second or third in control of this group would mean I wouldn't have to teach you, but you'd be wrong. Everyone's on vacation. And I'm, like, the only one left here, so hello, I hope you guys don't have holiday plans.
I thought you said you wanted to do this?
I'm not gonna tell the 12-year-old who thinks she's a big shot because her adopted mom is a lawyer that I'm doing things because she said I should do them.
Clay raises his hand.
Yes.
You said you were our instructor.
Yes.
I've never had much schooling before this. Is there requisite education that I should have had?
Well, do you do weird stuff that you can't really explain?
I can explain it. I'm stronger than everything. That's the explanation.
Cool. I'm assuming the rest of you have been had orientation and know why you're here?
Yep. Yeah.
Weird things happen around you guys?
Yes.
I'm assuming that deer who's nibbling on someone's sweater is here for a reason.
Yeah, she's mine. She's cool.
That's one word for it.
I mean, I learned how to tie a knot with, like, this cherry stem with my tongue.
You did that with your tongue. I can't do that with my fingers. And you look down and he's been, like, meticulously fiddling with a cherry stem and it... You just can't get it.
Where are all these cherries coming from? Never mind.
We're in a bar. They have them behind the... Would you like one?
I'll have one, yeah.
I did a stint as a bartender. I poured beers. I can make beer. That's it.
I don't know where these cherries are still coming from. This bar is stocked magically by the person who makes the drinks. I'm so confused.
You're not the only one.
So did you have a quest for us?
Oh, we're in school. He's an instructor.
Well, yeah, but being in the order, we go on investigations, right? Right? He's like looking around like, this is what we signed up for? Am I in the wrong place?
Bill looks very like, this is the new recruits we have. You know, like he just like looks at his folder and like looks up at you guys a couple times like, oh boy.
My deer isn't going to be a problem, is she? I tell you, she's real sweet.
Crispin pets the deer.
She tastes sweet?
No, she doesn't taste sweet.
Crispin puts a protective hand now on the deer.
Oh, gosh. This will be fun for the rest of them when they get back from vacation. Anyway, so yes, I'm sure you guys have heard all the spiel about you guys don't have to use your powers to investigate things. You don't have to be what we're coining superheroes. You can just go about your normal life. We can teach you to control that. But since you're all here for, like, the fighting crime, going, solving mysteries aspect, I figure you guys want to go solve a mystery.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So good news, someone died yesterday night.
Oh.
Well, that's actually not good news, but good news, it was done by a... Also not good news, it looks like it was magically done.
Depends on your perspective, I suppose.
Anyway, we need to get this solved. The police department has forwarded a tip to us about a man named...
How much was it?
How much was what?
The tip.
Oh, it was a tip as in, like, advice?
Oh, all right. Back to you.
Knowledge can come at a cost. I totally get it, Clay.
What?
Oh, Clay and Crispin are the best. I just want a buddy cop movie with them. It's like The Other Guys is what it is.
Aim for the bushes?
That wasn't the dumb ones, actually. Anyway, Mr. Oliver Brine was found dead in his bed.
Tragic.
I mean, yeah. But it looked magical.
You seem awfully blasé about this.
I've had a lot of life experiences. My powers are going into a berserk murder rage.
I can see that changing your perspective.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, a lot of people are like, oh, like, he died in his bed. I'm like, wow, that's better than I can hope for, you know?
Wow, that's deep.
This doesn't feel particularly like... in the holiday spirit. When's the employee holiday party?
That was last week. You were there and very drunk.
Are you sure? I've been to, like, so many parties.
Well, we could go get a tree on our way.
Sure, that is a thing you can do, I guess.
Wait, what was the tip? We still never covered that. What was the tip?
That someone was murdered magically.
Oh, that was it. Okay, I thought it was like, who did it? So what do we do?
You need to go and investigate.
Oh, I'm not sure I could do
that. Oh, don't worry. I'm sure, Mr. Clifton, that they will be punching at some point.
That I can do. And lifting. And sweeping.
If I've learned anything from working with Tanner, it's that basically everything ends in a gunfight at some point. Or an axe fight. He sprouts bone axes. It's his thing.
Oh, wow. I could write a song about that.
What did he do with leather?
Nothing. I don't... You know, I don't understand how your mind works, Clay.
He was a tanner.
You know what? I would tell you, but he loves to tell the story, so you definitely need to ask him.
I don't like hearing... I got my own stories. You want to hear... We don't got to get into the stories right now. We'll be here all day.
Well, if Detective Tanner loves one thing, it's being here all day and talking about stories, so you should find him. So, here's the address of the...
Oliver Brine?
Of the Brine Manor.
Manor.
Oh, a manor.
Yes. He is one of the wealthiest people in town, as far as I understand. You are... I don't know much about him. Never met him. Do I look like someone who walks in inner circles?
Yes.
No.
Thank you, Clay. You're getting good marks for this instruction thing. Things that we do know, as I said, something weird seems to be going on. It is not someone who has come through Oak. So you don't have to worry about any of us.
So it's a totally unique magic signature?
Yes. I mean, it's not one of the power... Like, it wasn't something we did, is what I'll say.
Okay.
I don't know if it's unique. I don't know how he died. Like, that's kind of up to you.
Okay. I think he died of natural causes in his sleep. It's up to us.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, then I guess we don't have to do anything, but I think you should go check out the scene first, maybe.
Yeah, let's go.
Anything else you'd like to know?
Can my deer come along?
I don't care. As long as it's not staying here.
Well, my motorcycle only's got one extra seat, so I could only just take the deer and then none of you.
You hear that, Mira? You're gonna go on a motorcycle!
All right, now that I think we can make work.
I'm gonna go get a drink. Sylvia! And he walks out of the room, or to the bar, I guess, because I'm in the bar room.
All right. We follow that address? We go to that address.
Yes, okay.
Who has cars?
Crispin does not.
I would not have a car.
I do not. I have a deer.
Okay, well that deer is riding with me on the back of my only motorcycle that does shoot fire out the back. Just picture that magic deer, hooves on his shoulders, belching fire and smoke as he tears down the street.
So I imagined him... cut, like, tearing down the street and then realizing that the rest of us could only walk. And then just, like, circling back around and then, like, putting next to us as we go down the street. And just, like, little putts of fire coming out every so often. I don't know if you agree to that.
I think that's a fun idea. He's just walking it, you know, all the way.
So after you guys leave the bar, you see Bill just... sipping a drink, saying, probably should have told them they can expense things to the company account. You guys are potting down the street.
So how'd all of you travel if you don't have any wheels? I guess you could ride atop your deer.
Have you done that? Yeah, that's definitely the way I've been getting around lately. It's been kind of a new thing, so usually I just kind of walk. I work within about a 2-mile walk from where I live, so it's not too bad. I don't have to walk too much.
I've never even lived someplace for 2 miles.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I know. Sometimes I say things deep
mm-hmm.
and profound.
Yeah, I like totally get that.
I think it maybe would be best that you don't operate a motor vehicle, so that makes sense.
Why?
They can be tricky and fickle devices. This one... It speaks to me of desires to burn pavement and spit flames.
Oh, I just, like, take a trolley.
Do we have trolleys? Never been on a trolley before.
Well, it's because you got a motorcycle.
That's true. But now I'm fascinated by this trolley idea, and he just parks it on the sidewalk and just kind of walks away. Don't worry, it can't be stolen.
I think Crispin's gonna go over and, like, sing to it and just kind of, like, pet it like it's alive.
Don't touch it! It'll take your soul!
What?
I think.
Does it?
I think it'll take your soul.
Does it have your soul? Is it gonna take my deer soul?
You know, I never did consider whether or not a deer had a soul.
Well, now that you have!
I'm gonna go with no. I don't think it can take a deer's soul.
Well, either way, your deer doesn't have a soul. I guess that answers the question. Anyway, we go to the...
You go to the man.
We arrive by trolley, though.
All right. So you start to head to this, or you head to this address. Situated in the older part of town, you find the Brine Estate. As you approach the property and the manor beyond, you see the immensity of it. Old Town is not necessarily crowded at all points, but the amount of space owned by the Brine Manor seems a little ridiculous. It's kind of like when you look at pictures of Central Park in New York, where it's just like of like urban, and then this huge area of greenery. It feels similar to that, where it's like modest estate, 10 estates worth of land, modest estate. The manor itself is three stories tall. It's made of bricks and large columns that seem imposing. And it's the most uninviting place you'd ever seen that you'd call a house.
Got it.
As you pull into the drive, like, all through Old Town, you have this, like, low ambient hum of just, like, magic. It's not like it does anything, but, you know, you just, like, that feeling, that charged energy you guys feel. Once you get onto the property, that just disappears, and you guys all feel a little bit more disconnected to your rifts than you usually do. It's almost as the city finds it as incongruous as you guys do, where almost like this part of the city just like does not fit in with everything else.
You know, when we first pulled up, I thought like this would be a tight place to have a party. But now I'm thinking like, no.
Guys, does Mira look a little odd to you? Is this you? Is this your motorcycle? Did you take her soul?
What?
Give it back!
I didn't take her soul. The motorcycle's alive. I told you, it talks.
Mira is just like kind of chewing on Gladys's sweater or clothes.
Hey, like, stop.
It's okay, she won't bite. It only took a little, I swear.
So if Crispin starts humming, when he does that, like, a couple animals will, like, come follow him. Does that happen here when he starts that?
Make a roll.
Okay.
Add a minus one.
Oh, yeah, we can, like, roll. This is like a game.
So whatever tags you want to put, just also you have a minus one, you have a negative tag as well.
Yeah, okay. So I'll use Pied Piper, which lets me charm living things. And then I'll do Danger Sense and Premonitions and Expose Hidden Secrets.
You gotta justify, like, all of the, like...
Okay, well, like, usually when he hums, he, like, animals will show up, and then Premonitions is, like, he can read the patterns of birds. Like, when birds come, then he can, like, see what's happened recently or what will happen soon.
Or if the birds were just frightened and running away.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, that's part of Danger Sense, too. So, how many do you want to give me out of those four?
What was the last one?
Expose Hidden Secrets.
That one seems fair, because you're, like, actively trying to do that. Mm. I don't think Danger Sense works, because there's not really danger happening.
Right, yeah.
Like...
That's fine.
I'll give you three of them.
Okay. So that's 8 plus 3 is 11, minus 1 is 10.
That is a true success. You're investigating, so you can...
I get to ask questions?
You get to ask three questions. But it kind of has to be related to, like, how you're gathering information.
Is that from a list, or do I just come up
with... No, you just have... You just get questions you want to ask.
Okay. How is magic... Or, like, what are the limits of our magic here?
It just feels slightly harder to reach through, is what your character...
Like, harder to tap into our power?
Yeah.
Okay.
Think of days when you're, like, really tired and just, like, takes, like, an extra little bit of effort to, like, think through things.
Yeah.
And it feels like that for your characters, like, as you're almost, like, just reaching through a sludge to touch your magic.
Okay.
Mechanically, you guys all have a minus one while you're on this property.
Yep, yep, yep. So that was one question. I can't think of anything else. How about you guys? I can't think of anything that's, like, related enough to my role to be fair to ask.
Do deers have souls?
Okay. You totally don't have to ask this. Because you were, like, humming or doing something to try and, like, have animals come out. Does it seem to be just a magical thing? Or is there, like, you know how when there's something dangerous... like animals are unnaturally quiet. Is it like that kind of thing?
Yeah, I guess, is there physical danger as well as like a magical disturbance?
You do not. There is no physical danger that you are aware of.
Okay.
Things seem manicured and pristine, and you have pretty good sight lines. There doesn't seem like to be like a giant guard dog sitting somewhere.
Okay. Can the animals tell me if there's somebody else on the property?
Outside or inside?
Outside, since we're outside. Or, like, if somebody came up this way right before us.
They give you the vague impression that there were people, but it was from communicating with animals, which takes a bit of time because they're animals, you get the sense that it was the police.
Okay.
Like, the police were here.
Gotcha.
You know, like, there was a lot of disturbance.
There was people.
There was a lot of people here, but now there's no one here.
Okay.
And it's not, like, not in an odd way. It's just... Yeah.
Okay.
There was nothing of import to note.
Okay.
Yeah, so the other thing I will give you is just a little tidbit for flavor. It's like all of these, usually when you talk to animals, they seem very, like, their eyes seem very clear and, like, focused on you. They seem a little bit more drifting the whole time that you're not used to.
Like they're experiencing the same brain fog.
Yeah.
Like they don't have souls.
Like their souls may be obscured by what's going on here, you know.
Gotcha. Okay, I relay that to the group.
Yeah, I could tell the animals sounded a little weird. They didn't sound as normal, like how, you know, normal birds sound.
Oh, you see Mira just kind of like wandering off a little bit more, Zara. Like,
Mira, get back here!
What sound do deers make? I don't know what a sound a deer makes.
Does I don't think baa? They make...
Do deers baa?
They might bleat.
They kind of, like... It's going to sound weird, but they, like, make a groaning noise, I think.
Sound do deer make?
Like, imagine a crappy goat.
All right, hang on a second.
I think Cody's right.
They snort, grunt, and bleat.
Yeah. Oh, no way. You talk to animals, too?
Yeah, I actually do. It's been kind of a recent development. It's kind of cool. Also, kind of makes it hard to sleep at night, but you know.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Found out my building has a lot of rats.
I looked up the sound that deers make. Do you want to know what it sounds like?
Yes.
They go...
That's pretty accurate for what I found, too.
It's kind of like what Cody said, a bad coat.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
When you look over, Clay is just holding your deer and goes, I found your deer. Don't worry. I brought it back. Like, just under one arm.
I'm gonna bring back her soul, too?
I don't know if she has a soul. I told you, that was the motorcycle. I had nothing to do with it.
Mira looks you dead in the eye, Clay, and goes,
She says we're friends now. I also talk to deers.
I think that was quite it.
No, it's not.
That's what she said.
Not quite there, Clay, but...
What did she say? Wait, can you literally understand her, not like in pretend?
Yeah, I can.
What's your favorite color?
Yeah, that's a really important question.
That's what I want to know.
Hey, Clay, can you, like, stay on the mic?
Yep, that's what I want to know. What's your favorite color, dear?
Do you ask this Mira? Not Mira. Zara. You're mean naming them both in Ross. You're very mean. You're a mean woman.
Thank you. Sure, I will ask.
They respond.
She said it's green.
That's what I was going to say.
I thought she said brown.
She was saying the green of a fresh, or, you know, the color of a fresh leaf for eating.
That's cute. I keep looking at you to talk to you, and it's away from the mic.
You can see me in the screen, you know?
I know, but I'm also in the... I can see you on two screens on my phone and on Caitlin's monitor, and I'm still turning to talk to you.
So I think we continue up the path.
All right, you guys continue up the path. You guys get to the front door. It is a large front door. It is very nice looking. Yeah, as front doors go, you knock on it.
Was it decorated for Christmas?
No.
Ooh, good question.
Specifically, no. It is not decorated for Christmas.
I think we found Mr. Scrooge.
Yeah, I'm getting that vibe.
Rich hates Christmas. Not getting out of the park here.
No parties, man. It really sucks.
All right. Do you guys knock on the door?
Yeah, I think so.
As soon as you knock on the door is open and you are greeted by a tall and frail looking old man. He's wearing a nice suit and a bow tie.
Hello, I am Abraham Bradley, butler to Mr. Brine. How may I help you this evening?
Can I make I want to ask my dear, because she has uncanny senses. See if she's sensing anything weird from Abe Bradley.
Yes, go for it. Do you have any other tags you want to add to that?
Bestow wisdom.
Sure. If you want to use tags that you have, like you can be like, "Oh, I'm working with Mira to figure out if this guy's weird."
Oh, okay. I don't think the other one's really
speak to animals.
Oh, I guess yeah, I am speaking to animals.
No.
I'm gonna say no for speak to animals. Like you're not like I'm treating it as like you're able to speak to her, not like
no, that's, you're not that's speaking separate.
To you're not okay. speaking to other animals to like oh, okay. figure something out.
So
like if she spoke to the mice that Crispin brought up, that would be different.
Okay. So would you say as a whole, talking to my familiar does not count as talking to animals because I have a different connection with said familiar?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say in general because you're using her for other things. It's like speaking to animals, you can speak to any animal, not just to her.
Okay, sounds good. So I would just do bestow wisdom and uncanny senses, which is plus two and then minus one for the being on the property. So that is 5, 6.
So you turn to Mira, you're like, what are you picking up? You're feeling a little suspicious. And Mira goes, aah! Which means there are no leaves in here. I am uninterested.
I just want to say, I like how you keep making noise.
Now that I know what sound steers make, it is, like, gonna live in my head rent-free forever. Like, to know that, like, deers do pathetic fake crying is how they talk.
Yeah, crap goats. Yeah, they suck.
I don't know, I prefer the pathetic fake crying to, like, goats crying, because, like, they scream and they sound like actual screaming.
So bad.
What was his last name? Abraham what?
Bradley.
Bradley. Thank you, fantasynamegenerator.com, where I get basically every name I use in all of my RPGs.
When Zara turns to talk to Mira to avoid suspicion, Gladys goes, hey, we're from, like, this group that is interested in, like, knowing more about the house. Can I like get a tour of the house? Cause this is like really old and really cool and I like really love it. And I'm gonna roll with distraction, bad judgment, and suggestion.
Yeah, those all feel like fair.
Do they not know we're coming to investigate the murder? Didn't we get tipped off by the police? This is out not me talking. This is not my character talking. I'm just getting clarification.
I don't know, and just in case I'm just gonna roll with, we're probably gonna enter this house without his permission. So that's a 9.
Did you take the minus 1 into account as well?
I did not. That's an 8.
Not that it matters for the level you're at. Oh, this is highly unusual. I guess I could give you a quick tour, but the master of the house has recently passed away, and I'm
oh, no.
expecting some people from the Oak Grove to come visit soon, so we will have to be quick.
You know what? That's so funny.
Guys, I think he's talking about us.
So this is the main hallway. As you can see...
Yes, please, just take me. Let's go.
This... All of the paneling is in mahogany. At great expense, we brought it in.
Wow.
But don't worry, actually, I lied. The railings are made with pure grade Indiana oak that we cut down from this very property.
The trees are like crying out to me.
That is very nice, but they sing a sweet song as they are varnished every afternoon by my hand.
As he's talking, Clay is just gonna pick Crispin up and, like, take him aside. Like, just turn his body away to, like, hide the fact that they're having a conversation. He's gonna go, now look, I understand this house is full of your dead friends, but I don't think I'm gonna be able to determine who did a murder, and I think that hang on, I forgot her name already. Now, shoot, it's rude, and I always do it. Gladys is probably much the same, so what I'm going to do is make a distraction. And then you and the one with the deer, and probably the deer, whose favorite color is brown, you get upstairs and figure out what happened. Don't worry, I'm great at this part.
The deer is standing right next to you, and when you say brown, it goes, aah!
I know. Brown's beautiful, just like the color of your lovely fluffy pelt.
You think you see the deer blush.
Into bestiality now, too, I guess. Just puts Crispin back down, and then what I want to do is spin a yarn about a time that I worked cutting down oak trees to try to distract him from the fact that two of us are going to go and actually investigate. I guess three, it's up to you if you want to stick around or if you want to go and try to investigate.
I'm, like, much better at distracting people.
That's what I figured. You know, there was a time when I was just a little boy, and yeah, it wasn't oak trees, but it was maples. But we spent a whole summer felling them, and then I learned how to use a sawmill. And let me tell you, some of the worst work. And he just keeps going about this job that he had working in a sawmill, like, forever. Every detail about the sawmill, it's just the whole thing. And it doesn't matter if the other person starts talking. Clay just keeps going.
Give me a roll.
So I want to roll with stronger than you, telling tall tales, and entertainer.
Yeah, I'll give you all those.
Because he's like one-upping him. You know?
Right, yeah. That's why I'm giving you stronger than you. You're specifically trying to like best him and, you know, like not caring what he's doing, you know?
Yeah. So that's an 11. And I told that maple tree that I could fell it with my bare hands. So then what I did is I just started punching and boards came out. And that's what I did until I was a man.
So you Abraham tries to get in a word edgewise, but you're like rolling over him. When he finally does get in a word, he starts to go, "That is amazing. You're saying that you can punch planks out of trees," and starts like asking you very specific questions about your story, not like remembering he's giving a tour even. Like, he is completely engrossed, like, oh, like, you know, like talking about like technique on how you'd like varnish a piece of maple that you punch out of a tree with your bare hands.
Yeah, by the end of this, we've like, I've flipped a table over and we're looking at joinery. You know, it's like we just, it's a whole tangent. We're in another room.
In that case, Gladys has been looking around to see if they have hidden any flasks anywhere.
You can make a roll for that, Gladys.
Yep.
Abraham is completely engrossed. Like, he's not even like pretending. He's like, oh, he finally has someone who wants to listen to him talk about like woodworking and like how nice everything is. So the whole time you're just like, oh, this is joinery. And he's like, wait until you see the masonry we have in this place. We own the quarry, so we only get the best stone for the counters.
Can I use childish drinking and bad judgment?
Oh, yes, you can use all of those. You still got a minus one, though.
11 minus one, that's a 10.
Oh, yeah, you find both the normal alcohol cabinet and the hidden one. So you like find like the cheap stuff and the good stuff.
I was going to say, and absinthe.
So much absinthe. You know, with like how bad of a rep it has from like that time period, it's always weird when I see recipes for like actual drinks nowadays with it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this still exists.
What about you other two?
Well, Gladys is finding good booze and Clay is having the time of his life entertaining Abraham.
Yeah, I think we're fine. We were by the staircase, right?
Yeah, he mentioned the staircase.
Yep.
Which is actually Indiana oak.
Right. I think Hotfoot up that staircase.
Yep, you guys can. He is very distracted. You guys can easily make it up the staircase without him noticing you guys have gone.
Do we really have to sneak? You know, he did say he was waiting for us.
Clop, 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 clop. Up the stairs.
Just echoing through the hallway. Right.
The ridiculousness of the tear just being in this fancy manner I've made.
Mira makes it classy.
Yeah, I think we've come a little too far down the road to turn back now, you know?
That's a good point.
So, yeah, I think we go upstairs and start looking indoors, opening bedrooms.
You quickly find the master bedroom. Okay. It's not too hard. You know, like, you have time. Clay is very much distracting Abraham, so.
Okay. Yeah, we step into the master bedroom.
Alrighty.
What do we find?
The master bedroom looks pretty clean and standard. It looks like a butler comes in here very frequently. There is a four-poster bed that is a little bit away from you, there's a writing desk, a dresser, a few other normal bedroom items, you know, like a lamp. This place is electrically lit at this time, you know, it's that time where electricity is, it's going to be big. The one thing I didn't mention when you guys walked in is the manor feels very much like a flat, like it feels like opulent, but opulent like two decades ago.
Okay. So it's not fashionable.
It's not fashionable. Like, it still feels opulent, and it feels like there's someone's flexing on someone, but it feels like the flex was a long time ago, and it has not been updated. Like, nothing is in disrepair, nothing is bad, but it's not in the same way that, you know, like, if you were, like, new money trying to impress people.
Okay. Gotcha. So it's flashy when it was built. Not necessarily. Now it's just, like, rich.
Right. It's in the same way, like, if you buy a nice home, it still looks nice, even if you're not nice. You know, I could have put that better, but, you know, here we are. You know
all about that.
You know?
Yeah, I guess I'm going to do an investigation check. I'm going to pull out my harmonica and see if there are any little critters that will come talk to me about what's transpired in this bedroom.
All right, make a roll for me. What are you using?
Pied Piper, Expose Hidden Secrets.
Okay.
Are there any dead things in, like, dead creatures in here? I guess I wouldn't be able to see that.
I don't think there's anything. Like, it's clean. Okay. It's very, like, there's not going to be a dead mouse in the corner or something.
Okay, yep. So that's just two, I think.
Minus one still.
Yeah. 7 plus 1 is 8.
All right.
+2 -1. Yeah.
So you get two questions. Do you, while you're at it, Mira, do you want to investigate as well?
Yes, but I want to. So was she able to summon animals?
The answer is no.
Okay.
No extra animals come out when you play your music, but you are able to glean information. So as you play your song, you're very used to animals talking to you and inanimate objects listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit weird when you hear, like, wood start talking and, you know, like, inanimate objects start, like, whispering in your mind.
Okay.
It's not audible in the way where I'm talking to you now, but you, like, sing the song and you, like, ask a question, then you just, like, very much hear, like, oh, the bed was speaking to me. Oh, the desk was saying something, you know.
Okay.
Or pointing me to something.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Okay, but yeah, I'm also going to investigate with the help of my trusty dear Mira.
Mira!
And I'm going to use Bestow Wisdom, Uncanny Senses of theirs. And do you think tracking? No, it's too clean for there to be any tracks. So I'll just go with those two.
Yeah, no, tracking would not work here.
Yeah. So that's just ends up being +1 then?
Yes. +2 -1.
There's a 7.
Alrighty. You both will have mild consequences when I decide them. But you both get two questions. Yeah, ask your questions and then...
Yeah, what flavor of magic was present in this room?
You want to figure out what magic has happened here. So you go over to the bed where Brayle mentioned the person died in the bed. And you go over there and you see the bed doesn't look right. It looks like it's three different beds juxtaposed next to each other. And as you look at it, on the left side of the bed, it looks almost like tree-like as vines or branches and leaves are sprouting out of it. And then as you watch over, it's like a gradient to the middle of the bed looking very normal.
Okay.
And the right edge of the bed looking moth-eaten and decrepit, which feels like... As you think about this, you're like, what is this? And then it clicks in your place. This feels like time magic.
Okay.
You're seeing the past, the present, and the future of this bed.
Okay.
All at the same, like, through a gradient at the same time.
Okay. Interesting. I guess what, like, is there, can I glean stuff from the desk? Like, is there any, like, work out from Oliver Bryan?
There is not, but you start rummaging through the desk, and the thing, you start rummaging through the desk, you're taking more of a quick glance over that, and you're quickly able to find that he is the owner of multiple things in town, which is how he's built his wealth. He owns the quarry and the metal refineries in town, or multiple of them. There's multiple metal refineries, but he owns several of them. But he seems to have been having trouble at the quarry as of late with different laborers and problems there.
Okay.
Is what you're able to find out at the desk.
Yeah. Thanks, I appreciate it, he says as he strokes the desk.
The desk blushes.
I want to ask if there's any type of signature or trace of, or like a taste of somebody that was there that did the magic specifically. Some type of teller that I can remember for later.
You look around and find... So do you want something that, for later, that says it's definitely this guy that was here? Or do you want a clue now to help you find the person?
I guess my intention with the question was something that I can for sure be verified, like, yes, this is a guy. Kind of like specifically a scent, but like a scent, how if I smell and be like, ah, oh, this is the same smell, this is the guy.
Cool.
Was my intention of the question.
So you are able to find a, you and Mira are working together. Mira's like, oh, I got this guy. Like, there's this weird scent in the room. Like, there's this certain mix of human, labor, person, all the things they do scent that I can identify them if you find someone later.
Okay.
So, like, you have that scent.
Cool.
But it doesn't really help you now because you're like, you know, it's like, I know exactly what I'm looking, what smell I'm looking for. I'll know it when I see it. I'll know it when I smell it. If you don't have something, I have a clue that I can give you if you don't have a good question.
Yeah, go for it. I think you covered the...
Yeah.
Unless there's something you guys like, oh, we really need to know this.
No, the question I specifically had, I asked, so...
Alright, cool. So, like, after a little bit of time of looking around, you see Mira walk up to you while chewing a piece of paper. Like, eating it. And you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. You grab it out of her hands, and you see... Mouth, sorry.
Oh, God. My deer does not have hands. Oh, God, that's horrifying.
You take the piece of paper out of her mouth as she's chewing on it, and it says Union Meeting, and it lists the meeting place at...
Mandy, what's the pub name?
I didn't end up coming up with one.
I don't have a good like mythology pub name. All right, guys, workshopping a pub name out live on the podcast. What you got? Everyone give me one pub name, and I'll pick the best.
Okay.
Oh, now the pressure's on.
Ooh, that's tough.
Right? The problem is I'm too close to the mystery to just, like, try to name everything after the mystery, and that feels, like, a little bit, like, too much.
I'll say Corkscrews.
It's not a bad name.
That's pretty good.
Remember, also, like, by pub, it's like a diner with a speakeasy in the back at this point in the history.
All right, mine's the Black Flagon.
What's a good saint? Is there a good saint?
George.
St. George's, yeah. Do St. George's.
Oh, I like St. George's because, Fireball Whiskey, and he fights dragons. St. George fights dragons.
Does he?
Yeah, he does.
All right.
I'm blanking.
The big story about him is St. George of the Dragon.
Yeah.
Like, that's his thing.
Well, here's a cool thing. I don't know nothing about saints. I'm not Catholic.
I'm not either.
I'm not either.
You're all just Catholic light. Come on.
Catholic light is fine.
I'm not Catholic.
My mom called us backdoor Catholics. Randy, what do you got?
I got nothing.
That's a bad pub name, but okay. All right, we're going to go to St. George's. So they're having a union meeting at St. George's, you find out, for the workers from Brine Industries.
Okay, cool. Nice job, Mira.
She says, you're welcome.
Also, just remember, Mira has short-term memory.
Oh, no!
So you, like, take the piece of paper from Mira, and she says, you're welcome. And then you, like, have the piece of paper, you read the piece of paper and, like, put it back down on your side, and Mira immediately starts chewing it again, forgetting that you took it out of her hand.
Yeah, I think we head back down.
Alright, while this is happening, would Clay or Gladys like to try to figure anything out from Abraham?
I don't think Clay really would.
That's fine, like, this is a time to, like, if you have questions about Brian himself.
Do we? We don't know when he died because we didn't ask any questions.
It was last night, he said.
It was last night.
Yeah. And Day gave a tip off to, which you don't all typically know this, but Day gave a tip off to Tanner, who told Bill to take care of this because Tanner had other things he was doing at the time.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think Gladys would at least try to ask. So I think she like takes a swig of absinthe. and comes up while y'all are looking at the joints of whatever table or whatever. And she's gonna ask, so, like, I'm getting, like, weird vibes here. Did something, like, happen here last night? Did anything weird happen? And if you need me to roll...
Yes.
I'm gonna use... I'm going to use suggestion, bad judgment, and can I use partner in crime because yes, Clay has been talking him up. All right.
If you don't use that, I'll just give you a plus one for Clay distract. Like,
that is a 12.
Nice.
So, yeah, he'll answer your question. You get three questions.
Okay. So, first question, did he notice anything abnormal last night?
I mean, last night was a typical night other than the fact that I found... the master of the house dead in his bed after a blood-curdling scream, upon which he woke the entire household, which is just me and him. And I found his face gripped in a rictus of terror.
Well, did Rictus get arrested?
No, there was no rictus. It was like his face was stuck that way.
Did he usually look like that?
I mean, other than the screaming parts, yes.
Got it.
I'm glad he was... It was quite alarming. And not just because he raised an alarm.
I'm gonna guess you've already answered this, but was there anything he noticed when he found Brian? Anything odd?
I didn't really notice anything odd other than that the bed was wigging itself out. That's what the kids these days say.
He turns to me.
That's, I'm using the slang for the kids in the room.
I mean, like, yeah, totally. Like, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, do you? It was like one side of the bed was growing branches and the other was disintegrating. It was weird.
That's like terrifying, man.
I'm barely holding it together, if we're being honest. I'm unemployed. And I saw a horrifying thing.
Were you not in the will? Did he not, like...
I don't know. He was kind of a dick.
Oh, you didn't like working for him. I mean, bad bosses are just the worst.
I mean, I could have had it worse. I could have been one of the quarry workers, you know? He didn't really like anyone, but it could have been better too, you know? You read those inspirational books where the butler's a part of the family and you kind of feel like that should be you? You know, you've been here for generations or decades, and still you're just like, here's your mandatory 25 or 2 cent raise with inflation, and I'm like, hey, bud, I cleaned your shorts and they didn't make them too starchy for you. And I'm just like, 2 cents, is that it? But, you know, times aren't tough, but I feel like there's a storm brewing, you know?
You're a young man still in your prime. I'm sure you could go on to find better work at some point, you know?
Note, he is very old looking.
Oh, I know.
I know you know, but, you know.
I don't have any other specific questions. Did anyone else have a question that we should ask the butler?
So you heard him scream. He was dead. And then now we're here looking around. So you didn't, like, see nothing or hear nothing else, but it seemed murdery to you.
It did seem a little weird, you know, like... From what I've heard of heart attacks, you don't scream blood-curdlingly in the middle of the night. I could be wrong, you know. I'm not a doctor.
Me either. Never been.
I'm not a role player who exclusively dates doctors.
And there was no sign of, like, forced entry or, like, no windows open or anything like that, right?
There was not, even though you're not here.
Was there any mess that he had to clean up anywhere in the manor? This was specific to after he heard the noise.
No, it was pretty clean still. Honestly, he didn't make much of messes even when he was alive.
I think that's all I got.
That's all I got.
The one One thing I will say about the will that I might know is that he does have one living relative.
Oh, yeah, who's that?
It's his niece named Harper McKenna. They were kind of like not friends, really, but I think that was because, again, Oliver kind of sucked. They say don't speak ill of the dead, but I mean, that's about as good as I got. Remember, like, these heartwarming stories about butlers being parts of the family and finding true love and, like, their wives being made part of the group. And, you know, like, you feel like that should be you. And then you spend decades of your life giving to this family and you get that 2 cent raise. Because the government says you can't pay people that little anymore. And it feels a little bad, you know what I mean?
Have you ever considered murder as a solution to your problems? Just curious.
I would be lying if I say it didn't cross my mind once or twice, but...
No, got it. That's totally normal, and I'm not thinking about it at all. Don't worry. What was your name again?
My name is Abraham Bradley.
Got it. That's rememberable. I'll make sure... You know, not that it'll ever come up again, because you definitely had nothing to do with it.
You look at him, and he's a very frail old man. You know, like as you're like doing stuff, he picks up something, and his hand is shaking the whole time. Like,
so you have to understand, to Clay, that tracks for anybody. Like, yes, obviously, they're frail. They're not me.
They're more frail than
yeah,
Clay. Yeah,
that's fine.
It's like, to a god, we all look like ants, you know.
Does Abraham have any magical aura about him?
That sounds like a question someone else would have to ask.
Yeah,
like what you guys were doing was not specifically doing magic stuff to find out magic.
It was yeah, I was just interviewing him.
Right. So like that does not sound like something I can tell you, or rather, something that I'm going to tell you without another role. But at this point, the other two of you can show back up with the deer.
Can I check to see if I smell the smelly smell on...
That smells smelly?
Abe.
Mira, looks at him and goes, nah.
Can I just have Mira just go uncomfortably close to him to smell him?
Mira goes up to him, and he's, oh, hello, deer. And then she just, like, sticks her nose, like, up his suit jacket, like...
Oh, hello, dear. What are you doing?
It's okay. She's just getting to know you.
Mira walks back and goes, which translates to, that was not green leaves that I like. It's just an answer to your question.
You said she shook her head no.
Clay leans over to Zara and goes, I think she said that he definitely is the one that did it. See? She's insisting.
She's shaking her head no while she's like going,
I feel like that's not polite to say in front of
everyone. She says to you, Zara, which means this guy gets it. She says a lot of like mean things about Clay.
I just want to calmly pat her on the head to calm her down.
She cusses Clay out in many different ways where you're like, oh gosh. You know, it was like, oh, I can't repeat this in polite company.
Two seconds ago, this deer was blushing because of my compliments. Now it hates me.
No, you thought the deer was blushing because of your compliment.
Hey, I can make a schizophrenic deer. The deer has short-term memory. I'm just playing into that. She doesn't remember who you are.
Is there anything I can help with? Or should we get back to the marvelous tour?
No, I'm done with the tour. We already did that. I've gotta go.
No, we just looked at the table too. I need to show you the masonry on the floor.
You know, we're kind of like...
Oh, no, no. I must insist. It is the 8th wonder of the world.
Cool. Well, I'm insisting that I'm leaving. And then he just walks.
Come here, my dear friend.
He points to the deer.
I will show you the 8th wonder of the world.
Oh.
Bye, Mira.
Bye.
Does Mira and Zara stay for his tour?
Mira, you're gonna have to take one for the team.
You can just...
He's old and weird.
They're gonna try to just grab Mira and lead her out. She's like, I'm sorry, we'll come back to finish the tour in a little bit. I gotta take her out.
Oh, that's... Okay, I guess I have nothing left. I can go to bed, I guess, and then search for employment in the morning, since I'm just alone in the world and I wasn't given time to make a family of my own, so... Oh, they're already gone, I guess. That's fine.
This is so sad. I feel bad.
As you guys close the door on poor Abraham and head off into the night.
I'm sorry, Abe.
Hey, Wanderers. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Naptown Chronicles. If you want to hear more content from the Wandering Gamer Network, you can check out the Wandering Gamer Network website. We also post Let's Plays that we do on YouTube under the channel Wandering Gamer Network. On Twitch, we can be found at wandering_gamers, and you can follow us on Twitter at the WGN Podcast. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. The intro and outro music was composed by Caitlin Balgman, who voices Faye in this podcast. All of their music is openly licensed or in the public domain. Now, sleeper, it is time to rest. And remember, it is the gods who envy us.